opening meditation here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and one of the things that's interesting about this scripture, it's one that's read fairly often here in church, and we know the story pretty well, but the Bible is many layered, and many times you can as you read something old, something new pops out at you. And maybe it won't this time, but there's something here that is has always been interesting, and that is that this is the beginning of Samuel's life, and it gives the account of his mother, and it gives the account of a number of people. One is the father, the mother, the second wife, or the first wife, however you want to call it. Elkanah had two wives, which was pretty much of a problem, but for us, but it wouldn't be for, it wasn't that much for him. And then we have Eli the priest. And each of them had their life to live, and each of their lives kind of influenced the other person's life as well. One thing that we can see about Elkanah, let's just read this. Start with verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth, Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerithim, the son of Eliha, the son of Tehu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had no children but Hannah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up to the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat by the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. And Hannah spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I'd like to just think a little bit about each of these characters. Elkanah was a man that he took his responsibilities as men did in those days, and probably very, very confident kind of person. When Hannah was grieved, he asked her, Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? You know, probably all of us fathers and husbands would like to think of that of ourselves, but few of us are. and probably Hannah wasn't, and probably Elkanah was not, and obviously wasn't, because Hannah's need was not met. Hannah was the one, he looked inward, and he saw confidence. That's what he saw. Hannah looked inward, and she saw a great emptiness. She saw an emptiness that God could fill with a child. And she was willing to commit that child to the Lord if that need was filled. Peniah used her position to kind of taunt Hannah and grieve her because of the fact that she had many children. And it also gives us a little bit of a picture of the times. When we get together and eat, most of us fill ourselves and we have plenty left over. For these folks, Elkanah portioned out the meal, and he gave everybody some, but Hannah, he gave a lot, because he loved Hannah, he said, it says. So in spite of the fact that she was loved, in spite of the fact that she was the favored one, there was still an emptiness there that was only going to be filled with something that God could supply. Well, and then we have Eli the priest, and as Hannah was praying to the Lord, he completely misinterpreted her motives and her actions and called her out for being drunken when she was simply sorrowful of heart. And sometimes that happens too, where we misinterpret somebody's actions and make a judgment call that is not accurate. But one thing we can see for Eli's credit is that when Hannah explained her grief, that he gave her a blessing, and he did not say that. He was willing to see things the way they were after it was explained to him. And so we see a number of people here that are doing what they think is right, but none of them was really finding that deep satisfaction that comes from a life of service to the Lord, with the possible exception of Hannah. You know, she was she must have had some terrible grief there. And even later in life, when she took Samuel to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord, I just can only imagine the bond that must have formed during those early years, knowing what was coming, and then having that torn from her there. But looking inward, Hannah was the one that was willing to give to the Lord whatever the best that she had. And I think that's the call for us today as well, as we look inward to give to the Lord the best that he has given to us. I read a story recently of a man that really inspired me, and I've shared this with a few of you, so forgive me for doing it again, but probably some of you have heard of Bert Elliott, be the brother of Jim Elliott. And maybe it was shared here in church, too. I think it was during Bible school, but a lot of us weren't here. But Bert Elliott was the brother of Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott was martyred in 1956. I remember that well because that was the year I was born. That happened in January of 1956. And Bert was already a missionary in Peru for 7 years. He went there after he and his wife were married. For 6 months, he and Colleen, his wife, went to Peru and started a mission work there. And when Jim Elliott was killed in 1956, they had been in Peru for 7 years already. And in 2006, they came up to Portland, Oregon on furlough. And Randy Alcorn had an opportunity to interview them along with Steve Saint and along with Minke, one of the tribal warriors that had killed Nate Saint, and Steve McCulley, another one of the sons of the missionary of Ed McCulley. And they discussed their lives, the different tracks that they went. And Bert described Jim as a great meteor sailing through the sky, you know, brilliant. And everybody remembers Jim. But not everybody knows Bert, even though he was very faithful in the service of the Lord for many years. Bert died in 2012, and he was there. He was 87 years old, and he was a missionary in Peru for 62 years, for 62 of those years, and founded many, many congregations down there, went all over the country, or many places there in the jungle, and they said there were 170 congregations formed by his work there in Peru. Early in his life, when they went down there, it says that he didn't know much about. There were great medical needs there, and his Colleen was. She offered basic medical care, and he developed a knack for pulling teeth. He wasn't a dentist, but the people were in agony. This thing reads. And Bert would seat the patient in an ordinary wooden chair and look at the tooth. And then he would come into the bedroom and he'd look at a medical book and decide where he was going to put the Novocaine. And then we'd both get down on our knees and pray. And then he'd go out and pull the tooth. You know, that's pretty crude in a lot of ways. And yet he was helping men helping people in a desperate need. And if you've never lived with an acute toothache, you don't know how desperate that feels. And so I can sympathize with both parties, I think, in this case. Well, there he was, and there he was, and there he was, day after day, and living his life the way that he felt like God wanted him to, and was a faithful servant to the Lord for many, many years. And yet, you know, probably anybody in evangelical circles will recognize the name Jim Elliot. What's one of Jim's most famous quotes? Anybody? Okay. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. It's probably very familiar with all of us. And I remember a number of years ago, the chorus sang the song, "We Rest on Thee." And I remember James's introduction was the song that the group had sung just before, I think, the morning when they were together before they were martyred that day or killed it. So we know a lot of details. There were a number of books written. And yet there's a lot of faithfulness behind the scenes there, too. And I think it's that way in many places. I think it's that way in our congregation here, that there's people that are faithful, sometimes, many times not in the spotlight, but faithful, just filling their service, and God's blessing is there. So this morning, the question is not how brightly what do people think of us? But the question is, how are we serving the Lord, and is our life dedicated and committed to Him? I would like to turn to Matthew chapter 20 and just read this account here of that Jesus gave of workers in the vineyard. Matthew 20, another beautiful scripture. Lots and lots of lessons in here. We won't exhaust this, but I'd like to just read this, starting with verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle. And he saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do that what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. I believe there's a number of lessons in here, but one of the lessons that I think is good for us today is that service to the Lord, faithful service is what he's looking for, and the reward is in his hands. It's according to this passage, it's the same reward for those that work an hour as those that worked all day. But all of them worked the time that God called them to the end of the day. And so wherever we are in life, it's important to be faithful and to the end of life. And that is what he's showing us here. Jesus has showed us that he counts things differently than men do. And just for example, when he was watching the people cast into the treasury, and he said that poor woman cast in more than they all, the widow that cast in two mites. We know that Jesus counts things. He sees things differently because he sees the heart. And so a great show may be of little worth to him, but he wants a heart that's turned to him and is willing to give all whatever the cost is, and that's what he's calling us to today. And so, you know, we have we have people that we use for perspective. Let's look at the word. Let's look inward. Let's see how our heart is lined up with the Word of God. And definitely, there are externals that will coincide with that. But if our heart is truly seeking to follow Christ and to be a blessing to him and to others, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be difficult to follow up on our commitments that we have made. And so I think that that's an inward look. It's what we're focusing on today. Inward, and we use the Word of God as our guide to do that. But let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we bow before you just now, we want to thank you for your many blessings to us. Thank you for the privilege we have of being your children and looking to you for our hope and our salvation in the end here. Bless this service. Bless Brother Joseph as he brings that word to us further. Help our hearts and minds to be open and attentive that we might let allow your word to fill us and to bring forth the fruit that you intend in our life. Keep us in your care. Bless those that can't be here because of sickness. May you be in their midst and make them a blessing as well. We ask it in your name. Amen.